this 4th of July weekend and looking at the 4th on Wednesday, where do you stand as a nation today, as an individual? As we celebrate 242 years of the founding of our country, you can look back over history and you can say to yourself, well, what has happened to history? History's come and history's gone. And people are trying to do away with history. They don't want to talk about the things that used to be. If it wasn't for the history that we're studying about our nation today, where would we be? We need to go back and look at our founding fathers. We even need to go back and look at the times that we can say to ourselves, when Jamestown was formed, when Plymouth Rock was all done, and the pilgrims came and they started to live and started to build this great nation. Just a ragtag bunch of people and a bunch of small boats. But they took what they had in the love of God and they started to build this nation. And this nation continues to thrive today because of that. But how long will our nation thrive as it is? How long will it move in the direction of God and country? Well, I can tell you today from what I've seen around this country in the last 15 years or so, it doesn't look too good to me. It looks bleak. But I can say one thing. Even though it may look bleak to me, God's still on the throne, and God's still in control, and God's still taking care of us. As you think about this week coming up, think about the ups and downs that we've seen as a nation. War after war, even civil war in our country. But we have still stood the test of time, and we will continue to do so as long as we focus our attention on God and on God alone. You see, we are to be what we call a God-fearing country. But where do we stand as a God-fearing country? Very little is being said anymore about God and country. We can stand up and talk about the American flag, what it means to us as individuals. You can ask people, what does the flag mean to them? And they'll look at you and give you a blank stare and say, I don't have a clue. They can't tell you what the Christian flag is all about. They can't tell you what's in God's Word. But when it comes to voicing opinions about things that are not right, that's where they stand today. See, we're living in a sinful nation today like this world has never seen before. And unless we make some changes within ourselves, within our homes, our churches, and our lives, we're going to still see a decline coming in our world today. You don't like to hear that. We want to hear everything is uplifted, everything is going good. Yeah, taxes may be a little bit better. You know, your economy may have improved just a little bit. But my friends, when you look at everything else, it's going the other way. It's not as good as you may think it is by listening to what's going on in the world today. You see, we need to understand today that sin is an accepted way of life today. We accept whatever comes. It's okay to do what you want to do in your own eyes and leave God out of the picture. How long will this be? Well, you're going to see this morning in the book of Joshua, if you'll turn there with me. And we're going to look at chapter 6, verses 16 through 27. Chapter 7, verses 2 through 6. And then 16 to the end of that chapter. I won't read it all in one setting for you because I know you get tired of standing, amen? But I pray today that you will get the whole boat and the whole length of what I'm going to talk about. Because the nation of Israel was a great and mighty nation. After they came up out of Egypt, as God led them and directed their path, through the Red Sea, through the Sinai, through everything that they did to Canaan, rejecting God, and all of a sudden, you know, they finally got into Canaan land. And when they went into Canaan land, it seems like things were just great. And the people heard about this great God that was leading them, heard about all the battles they had fought along the way, and they were a survivor. But something happened when they got into the land of Canaan. God says, I've opened the doors for you. All you have to go in and do is possess it. But there was one word that he gave to them that was to be obedient to the cause. But instead of being obedient as they should have been, they became disobedient. And because of the disobedience of one man, the whole life of Israel changed in one battle. Now I want us to see this morning there were three things that should keep us together. First of all, we need to be united, not just as a nation, but as individuals. And if we're not united, my friends, we will be divided. And when we are divided, there is an uncertainty of what's going to come. I can tell you through God's Word and studying God's Word, I know what's coming in the end. The Lord is coming back. Those who do not believe will die and go straight to the portals of hell, and they will never return again. Those of us who live and remain will be caught up one day in the clouds to be in the sky with the Lord. That's going to be a glorious day for us. But until that day comes, we have to realize one thing. We need to work together, strive together, and stay together as a family in the body of Christ so that we can keep the devil from us, keep the worldliness out of our lives, and put Christ first. Please stand with me this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word, looking at chapter 6, starting in verse 16 of the book of Joshua. And I want you to listen very carefully. When you look at your life today for just a minute, listen to what the words have to say. It says this, "And it came to pass as the seventh time," in verse 16 of chapter 6, "when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed things." He said, "Lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, when the priest blew, said with the trumpet, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great voice, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man as his straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, old, young and old, and oxen, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that were sent, he said, spied out of the country, "Go into the harlot house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as he sware, said unto her." And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And it says, "And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold, the brass," it says, "the vessels of iron and all, that were put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household, and all that she said. And she dwelleth in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers," it said, "when Joshua sent to spy out the land." And Joshua adjured, it said, then at the time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest a son shall be set up in the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Let's pray. Father, today as we look into this text, may we take to heart the importance of obedience, remembering what happens when we are disobedient, how lives are changed, how people are hurt, how times may turn in a different way. Just like Israel, we're no different. We have that tendency also to drift and do things we shouldn't do, even when we're told not to do those things. So, Father, I ask today to bless the message and bless our time together. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Look at chapter 7, verses 1 through 2, please. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmine, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accursed thing and angered the Lord was kindled," it says, "against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up, view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up. Smite the Ai," it says, "and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." Now, I read that to you because I want you to understand this morning in this context that the nation of Israel had the greatest opportunity to move in the direction of taking all of this country and all of this land without losing anybody. They had a strong nation when they went to Jericho. They went in together. They prayed together. They marched around the city. They did it for 7 days. The last time was seven times around. Blew the trumpets and everybody shouted. And the most important thing I can remember in all this is when they said that the walls fell down flat. They didn't have to go over boulders or anything else to get inside the city because God had destroyed it. And they went up and they captured the city. And as they went in to capture the city, there was some in the group that decided, I like what I see. And they decided to take some of the spoils of that day. You know, we've heard all of our lives, and it is true. When you're united, you stand together. When you're divided, you fall. And then there is uncertainty that comes after that. What do you do next? It was Jericho. It was Israel. It were these great men fighting this battle for this town, which really they didn't do a whole lot of fighting in the first place until the walls came down. And God sent them in, and He told them to destroy every living thing that was there, except for Rahab the harlot and her family, because she was the one that protected the spies that came in and gave them a new life and a new beginning. And they went into Israel and lived the rest of their days. But because of them going in and because of one man by the name of Achan, who decided he would take upon himself some of the spoils of war, he decided that it would be okay. What did Joshua tell them when they went in? He said, you take the gold, you take the silver, you take the iron, and you take the brass, and you bring it into the storehouse of the Lord. He didn't say, go in and fill your pockets. He didn't go in and say, take this or take that. He said, you leave everything but what I tell you to take. And by doing that, and by Achan going in and taking the spoils of that day, he destroyed what God was putting together in just one instance of taking something. You see how easy it is to fall to the left instead of saying to the right when you're not focused on God like you should be? That focus should always be dedicated to serving the Lord. It's just like today. Our problem today is that we have turned off God. We have refused to listen to Him anymore. So what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible actually say about turning away from God? We sing the beautiful songs, you know, God Bless the USA. Okay? America the Beautiful. Star Spangled Banner. Now, we can sing all these pretty songs, but you know when we sing them, there's something dead about them. And you know what it is? There's no joy within our hearts anymore to sing about this great nation. We have a tendency now when we sing a song, we just mouth the words of it. You know, Star Spangled Banner, oh say, can you see? By dawn's early light. You know, we can sing anything you want. But where is the feeling that comes with love of country, love of God, love of relationship, and building that foundation? Where is the United States of America today? The United States of America is in a cesspool. You hear me? It's in a cesspool. And sin has run so rapid throughout the walls of our churches and our homes, we don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. We look at the Word of God and say, God said. Well, just because God said doesn't mean I have to do. If the Bible teaches you that God said to do certain things, that's what you are supposed to do, and you're not to deviate from His plan. Because His plan is always the right plan and not the wrong plan. But we have a tendency to say, well, I can do it better than God can. Show me somebody that can do anything better than God, my friends, and then He'll be God. But you can't show me that. Man has tried time and time again to put their authority above God's authority. And every time they've tried to do that, what has happened? They have fallen to the wayside. Go back and look at Lucifer in the Bible. He said that he was a beautiful angel of light that God created. He tried to usurp his authority over God. God cast him out of the heavenly realm that he was in, into the place that now we know called hell, where he roamed around the earth, trying to devour everything that's in his way. And he's doing a good job because his time is very short. And we're letting him get a foothold in our lives today. You see where our country is today? Why is it like it? Because Satan is running rapid, seeking whom he may devour. And all we do is turn a deaf ear to it because we don't want to see it. We're like those monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Let me tell you what, we better open up our eyes to see. We better open our ears to listen. And we better speak up for what's right and get away from what the wrong of this world is doing and tell people who we are. See, we're born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And this nation was founded on what? Freedom of religion, freedom of speech. How much freedom do you have today when you speak? Huh? How much freedom do you have today? If the left doesn't like what the right says, the right doesn't like what the left says, nobody's happy anymore. You know, we had a good lesson this morning in our